Okay, here we go. We are in the last chapter of Luke, chapter 24 this week. We're going to finish up Luke, and next week we'll go into Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So that'll be some good lessons as well. On the whiteboard, I have a question that I want you to ask yourself. Do I live today with a vibrant, underlined vibrant, sense of responsibility to carry on Jesus' mission and ministry? So what does the word vibrant mean to y'all?
With zeal.
Getting at it. That's right, active. So do I live today with an active sense of responsibility to carry on Jesus' mission and ministry? And that's what our lesson is about. If I don't remind you every week, I do at least every other week, that you have a job as a believer. Even though everybody in here is retired except for me, I think. You may have retired. You can retire from your regular job, but you cannot retire from working for Jesus until He calls you home. He's got your retirement papers. And that's what today's lesson is about. So let's look at the first verses in chapter 24 and the title of it. Our titles for our lesson categories this week are Remember, Trust, Understand, and Follow Through. So the first one we're going to look at is Remember. And this is verses 1 through 8. It says, "But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, 'Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day.' Then they remembered that he had said this." So that's what we're going to look. So let's first remember that these events that we just read about were happening to completely normal people. Completely everyday normal people, just like us, that happened to love Jesus very much. So they were challenged in their minds with his resurrection, just like we would be, right? Because if he had died, there's nobody on the face of this earth right now that's a believer that could have lived back then, in my opinion, and gone through and lived through all his teachings and all that and understood completely what he was talking about. All the innuendos and all the things that he said, nobody would have. So I just want to remind you all that these people are normal, everyday, regular people just like us. They were chosen by Jesus to be his people, you know, to begin the mission and the ministry, but they are just normal people. So they had a little bit of trouble wrapping their minds around the fact that he was resurrected. To understand it, it would probably kind of be like, you know, when there these verses that we read, and we've read them how many times in our lifetimes in this room? There's no telling. You know, these are very familiar verses. But they remembered that last verse, verse 8, then they remembered that he had said this. So I started thinking about that, and I thought, so they're remembering. So if you think about it, it was kind of probably like a movie, so something you can wrap your mind around, so like a movie running through your mind. It was running in their mind of all the things that they had heard him say at the time that didn't always make sense. But when they, can you imagine how it was for the ones that first found the empty tomb? About how they started thinking about and remembering what he had told them was going to happen and had to happen in order for things to be the way that God wanted them to be. The two supernatural shining men made it even more confusing. Would two supernatural shining men make us confused today? be kind. It'd scare us. It would. Because we're just everyday normal people, just like these guys and these women in this part of the scripture. They were terrified, just like Joy said, they were scared, scare us to death. So I think simply put, they were terrified. And Luke later identifies in 24:23, he identifies these two as angels. It says, they said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. So they bowed down to demonstrate respect and honor. When in doubt, bow down to something shiny and supernatural standing in front of you. So why are you looking for the living where the dead are? That's the question that these two shiny supernatural beings ask. Jesus was no longer there. He's no longer here, not because somebody took his body, which they originally, I mean, that's a natural human response. It's gone, and it's not supposed to be gone. What does that mean? Somebody took it. But that's not what this meant. He was no longer there because he was alive again. So, and the angel says, remember how he spoke to you in Galilee. The angels were trying to help the people, jog their memories, and kind of get that movie going in the right sequence in their minds. And they wanted them to remember that Jesus did tell them what was going to happen. He did tell them. We don't like to hear bad news, neither did they. All they heard Jesus say, you got to think about it, normal everyday people, and all they could grasp was that he was going to be betrayed and he was going to be crucified. Being crucified back then was the ultimate in death, the worst thing that could happen, the most evil and painful way to die. And so that's what they were. They were human. They were wrapping their minds around that somebody was going to betray the man that they loved so much, that was had done so much for them, and that they were going to put him on a cross and kill him. Their minds couldn't go any further than that. So they missed the part. They heard it, but they stored it away somewhere, the part about and rise on the third day. They kind of missed that because they got caught up in the betrayed and the crucified, and I think everybody in this room would have got caught up on the betrayed and crucified.
We hear what we want to hear.
Yep, and what our emotions can handle at the time. And you know, the Lord only lets us handle so much, so he knew they couldn't handle it all, even at that time. But they remembered now. The angels helped them remember. He had told them of his suffering, but he also did tell them that he was going to be resurrected. So do you remember? Let's bring this forward. Do you remember? Anytime you're going through a difficult time, remind yourself of this lesson and what he did just for you. It's a spectacular thing to remember and not let it become just something we know about, but something we feel and we live and we breathe every day and we're thankful for. So don't ever just let this, what this lesson is telling us, become a part of a Sunday school lesson that you heard me talk about one time. You know, that's it. I love the way whoever wrote this Sunday school book on Luke did an excellent job to let us look at verses that we have been looking at for years in a totally different light and see more meaning from them than what we normally do. Because you can get kind of caught up in, you know, oh yeah, that's the Easter story, and oh yeah, that's the Christmas story, and you know, been there, done that, heard that. And so I think it's important that we remember that this is a spectacular thing to remember. And that's what he wanted them to do. He wanted them to remember that he did share with them. But because they were human, like Zeta said, we remember what we hear what we want to hear, and that's all they could handle at the time. Let's look at our next verses, and they're titled Trust. And it's in 36 through 40, same chapter, Luke 24. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands, look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and his feet. So, they're in this room, and all of a sudden, remember, and they were in this room, and it was all locked up, because they were supposed to stay there till the Holy Spirit was brought on them and all. And they were scared, they were hidden, they didn't want to have anything happen to them. And then so they're there and they're mourning and sad because of his loss, and then all of a sudden he's there with them. So the uncertainty of this encounter with Jesus made the disciples wonder what they were supposed to believe. The risen Messiah stood among them in the room that they were in. So this was just enough right there. How'd he get there? The door didn't open. The window didn't open. He was just there. So what if he just showed up right here today?
I'm down on my knees.
Yes. When in doubt, bow down. That's right. That's right.
I walk through the wall.
Or just appear. This was enough to make them feel, for how did he get in? He was just all of a sudden there. And he says, "Peace be to you. Peace be to you." That's what he said to him. So his words startled and terrified them. Why? Why did it startle and terrify them that he was standing there?
They couldn't grasp, because they had never seen somebody resurrected before.
Especially somebody that they loved as much as him. I mean, and the last time they saw him, let's think about it. Where was he the last time they saw him? Hanging on the cross. Dead. Beaten and tortured. Bleeding. So they thought their first gut human reaction was that they had seen a ghost. He was unannounced. He was in human form. And they were confused, terrified, but yet they were curious. And he asked them, "Why are you troubled? Why do you doubt?" Does he ask you that? Why are you troubled and why do you doubt? Reports of his resurrection had already come to the disciples, because they had come from the empty tomb and told them. And so Jesus was kind of puzzled about why they were so scared. It was kind of like a piece of the story had gotten left out, you know. I mean, he's there and they're scared, and he knows that they've been told, so he's asking them, "Why do you doubt? Why do you doubt what they just came back and told you, that I'm not in the grave, so I'm real?" He offered proof. He held out his hands and his feet to show them the scars from the crucifixion. And it proved that he was not a ghost. He went further and invited them to touch him. So if he was a ghost, they wouldn't have been able to, because ghosts have no flesh and bones. And he ate fish in verses 41 through 43 that we don't cover in our lesson verses, but you know, we should have read the whole chapter. He ate fish in front of them in verse 41 through 43. It says, "Still they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder." Now see, they're disbelieving, but they're still like, "Wow, this is really happening." Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. So a ghost without flesh and bone, and somebody that's dead and not alive, wouldn't be eating fish. Wouldn't be eating anything. So what a great passage. If you ever encounter somebody that doubts the resurrection, this is a great place to go to show them, to show somebody that doesn't want to believe it, that think that it hadn't happened yet, or they think it's too weird to happen because they can't wrap their mind around it, you can show them that even the people that were there, that were living and breathing at that time, doubted. But Jesus showed them and proved to them that it was Him and He was real. So the great, great witnessing opportunity to show somebody that the resurrection is real. So always remember that these guys were just normal people who happened to be chosen by God as disciples. Remember, one was a fisher. I mean, you know, it goes through all what they did. They were just normal people, not educated, not special, not pretty, not, they're just people. Their hearts were devoted to their Lord, who is our Lord. That's what's so awesome to me. It's the same Lord back then as it is right now at this very moment. They were devastated at His loss, but yet they were terrified to see Him standing there before Him. So they're just right in the same place that we would be. We'd be devastated because He was gone, but we'd be terrified because He was standing there looking at us. Their faith and our faith in Jesus requires that we trust Him. That we continually, without ceasing, trust Him. That He's going to do the right thing in our lives no matter what's going on. Their previous experiences with Jesus helped lay the foundation of trust. They knew they could trust Him. We're no different than these disciples. If we sincerely desire to know Him, that relationship's going to go stronger and stronger. And y'all are evidence of that. You know, if you'd given up 20 years ago, you wouldn't be sitting here right now. But you have that desire and the need to be here, to study and to learn more about Him. Because there's always something every day that you can learn that He hadn't shown you yet. So when you find yourself in a situation that is difficult, you can rely on that trust to see you through. That's what the trust is all about. That you trust Him, that He's going to do, maybe not what you think He ought to do, but He's going to do what's best for you. Let's look at the next category is called understand. Verses, chapter 24 still, verses 44 through 46. And this is Jesus again. It says, "Then He said, 'When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. And He said, 'Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day.'" So those are the verses. Jesus helped the disciples understand all they were witnessing. They're looking, they're standing there in front of Him, and He's helping them understand it. But He's at the same time, He's teaching them. He's still in the teaching mode. Before Jesus was crucified, He told them what lay ahead before it happened. But their minds didn't really kind of, you know, want to go there because they didn't understand it. He explains these events as fulfillments of the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and we know that. We know that the whole Testament is full of prophecy about the New Testament and Jesus and things that were going to happen to Him. Jesus claimed His place as Messiah because He fulfilled what the Scriptures had promised. He tells them this, and then He opens their minds so they completely understand. They were ready to understand, and He knew that, and He let them. So, because they showed a desire, they wanted to understand. They didn't want to be terrified standing there. They wanted to understand. And so that's with us. The more you study, the more you open your heart to Jesus' leading in your life, He's going to give you that next little bit to understand about why you're doing whatever it is you're doing and why He wants you to do it. Just gives you a little bit at a time. He don't want to overwhelm you because if He overwhelmed us, we'd crash and burn. So, before Jesus' crucifixion, the disciples were confused about His teachings, like we talked about, because they couldn't deal with the truth of it and the harshness of it. They just, It was just too much. So he reminds the disciples of the suffering and sacrifice required when we serve God. And that transfers to us. We suffer because we believe. We may not personally, but there are plenty of people that do suffer in other countries, probably here in the United States that we don't know about, because they believe. They burn churches. They go in and kill people, and you know, and if they profess, they kill them. Happens all the time. Missionaries. So he reminds them of the suffering and sacrifice required when they serve God. God rewarded Jesus with spiritual victory. He gave him the resurrection. He rewarded him for what he did, the sacrifice that he made. And he rewards us today with blessings. And sometimes you get a blessing and you don't even realize it. Isn't it amazing? Until afterwards, and you think, golly, that was a blessing. That was a blessing. Something really small. It doesn't have to be big. So he rewarded Jesus for his ultimate sacrifice. Jesus reminds the disciples that they will be rewarded for their suffering and sacrifice, which in turn we're disciples, so it reminds us of our suffering and sacrifice. So I want to ask you a question. Do you suffer and sacrifice for Jesus? So there might be an opportunity, and you know, like we're very fortunate that we don't have to suffer in the ways that I've mentioned, but the day may come. The day may come. It may not be in our generation, it may be in another, but the day may come that even here it'll be difficult to worship Jesus and profess Him without worrying about suffering and maybe the ultimate sacrifice. So Jesus helped the disciples buy into God's perfect will. You know, this is all, you go, it's so simple and so intricate. That's what makes it so amazingly wonderful, is God's plan. Because everything has to happen in a certain way to fulfill this plan that He's got, that He came up with before He came up with all of us. So Jesus helped the disciples buy into God's perfect will. He can help us buy into God's perfect will if we let Him. Not try to change it, modify it, make it a little better, because it might help us. Understanding Scripture is crucial as we move into the future. We must be like the disciples, study the truth, and share the truth. Understanding Scripture. I want to tell y'all, if I can remember it correctly. I've told y'all before, I listened to David Jeremiah, and he said the other one day this week that somebody asked him which was more important, praying. If he had to choose, would he pray or would he read Scripture? You know, which would he give up, I guess, if he had to, something like that. And he said that he really didn't have the answer, but he prayed about it and thought about it. And he said that he would probably say Scripture, because reading Scripture, because if he didn't pray, and when he read the Scripture, it would remind him to pray, because the Bible always reminds us to pray. So I thought that was pretty interesting. He said if he had to make a choice, he would continue to read the Scripture. So, it's important that we understand it as best we can, because the more you study it, the more the Lord's going to open it up to you and make it where, you know, a lot of people say they don't want to read Revelation, because they don't understand it. Well, if you read it and ask the Lord to give you the understanding, He'll give you enough understanding to help you understand what He wants you to know at that time. And that's just like any Scripture. I used to not really like the Old Testament because I didn't think I understood it, and now I love it. It teaches you so much that you don't even realize. It's just full. This is just living, breathing, and we can never forget that. Our last verses, the title is Follow Through, verses 47 through 53. This is still Jesus. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them, and he was taken to heaven. So they worshipped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy, and they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. So Jesus' time with the disciples is finally coming to a close after he's ascended, after he has been resurrected. He talks to them about their future ministry. Now was the time for the disciples to begin putting into practice all they had learned from Jesus. So now it was their turn. Jesus gives specifics on the disciples' part in carrying out the purpose of God. He says, "Listen up. You are one of God's disciples." He's giving you specifics on your part in carrying out the purpose of God. Repentance involves a change of mind and attitude toward God. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses of all these things, is what it says. The message was for everybody, for all nations, which is very radical for that time, because it wasn't just for the Jews. For him to say all nations, some Jews thought the Gentiles were unable to receive God's forgiveness because they weren't Jews. But Jesus is radical because he's for everybody. Everybody we don't like, people we don't know, people we don't think deserve it, they all get the same chance. The disciples became witnesses of the things they were to proclaim. They were there. They got to live it and breathe it. And now they just had to go tell it. Life with Jesus qualified the disciples to tell what they experienced in their relationship with him. How easy would that be? How easy would that be to do that? That'd be an easy testimony, wouldn't it? To talk about the things that Jesus did, because you're not doing it because somebody told you. You're doing it because you were there. And that's what they had, the opportunity. So what about your life with Jesus? Can you share some experiences in your lives that show your relationship with Jesus is alive and well? Do you have something in your bag of tricks, in your life, that helps you be able to show that your relationship with Jesus is alive and well? Verse 49 is awesome. Jesus tells them he's sending them what God promised. He says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised." They would still have the presence, power, and guidance of God, even though he wasn't with them physically. So we've got that too. We've got the same Holy Spirit that they got. And he's there because God promised him to be with them after Jesus was gone. Jesus has done his time. You know how when we say when a young person passes and you don't really understand it, but then you know if you're a believer that no matter how short or long your life is, God had a plan for that life. And when that life is done and he's done, he calls you home. Well, doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. Well, Jesus wasn't but 33. He had a plan. He did his part, and God called him home. He made that promise to him. So, you know, that's what we are. We're here because he's not ready for us. So our job is still going on. He's got our retirement papers, and he signs off on them whenever he calls us home. So they had received their mission, go and tell. But they needed the power of Holy Spirit to make all that happen. They couldn't have done it on their own. Just like we can't do it on our own. Simple, simple, one plus one. Us and the Holy Spirit makes possible. Us and us makes what? Nothing. Us time us is zero. So, in other words, they could not do it on their own. Not even them. Not even the disciples who had witnessed it all, lived through it, been there, done that. They could not do it on their own without the help of the Holy Spirit. So your experience, your relationship with Jesus should and does propel you. It sends you forward, ready to be on mission for God, just at any moment. You never know when the opportunity is going to rise for you to be on mission with God. And you know, I've always told you, our mission field is one step from where we're standing now. It's not, doesn't have to be in Africa or, you know, Florida or some crazy place. It's right here. It starts with you in your first step. So, your mission is using whatever talent God's given you. Everybody's got a talent. The Bible tells us that. And He's given each of us one. Whether you've used yours in your life so far or not, that's, you know that. But He's given you a talent to share Him with the world in some way. So how big is your world? That's your mission field. How big is your world? Doesn't have to be huge. Doesn't have to be as big as the earth. How big is your world? You decide that. That's your mission field. And that's where you have your opportunities. Acts 1:3 shows us that Jesus spent the 40 days after His crucifixion interacting with the disciples, preparing them for their mission. He gave them a final goodbye, and He was carried into heaven. And Acts, Luke wrote the book of Acts as a sequel to what went on after Luke. So just listen to 1:9-11. It says, after saying this, He was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see Him. As they strained to see Him rising into heaven, two white-robed men, there they are again, suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday He will return from heaven in the same way you saw Him go. Those are great verses. His work was done, but His work never ends. We're here. We carry it on. It's our turn to carry it on. There's been others before us. Plenty. There's going to be others behind us. So what kind of legacy are you going to leave for the next set to pick up from you and follow in your world that you live in? And you just think about it. It all started with 12 people. And how many thousands of years ago? And look at the believers that they are. You know, they went out and they did, and people continue to do. So even if it's a small one-time thing, if you do something, try to do it for the Lord. Does anybody have any questions, complaints, or comments?
Although in part of Revelation, reading Revelation, sometimes I read through it. I was talking about, said, blessed are those doing a second resurrection or something. It's in Revelation. I'm trying to find it.